Blog Talk Radio.
Snow can wait, I forgot my mittens. Wipe my nose, get my new boots on. I get a little warm in my heart when I think of winter. I put my hand in my father's glove. I run off where the drifts get deeper. Sleeping Beauty, it trips me with a frown. I hear a voice, you must learn to stand up for yourself, 'cause I can't always be around. He says, when you gonna make up your mind? When you gonna love you?
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eyes Smith. And this show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker. that help support these shows, so feel free to check those out. And tonight's show is based on a contest that Lee Wildup and myself ran called Your Favorite Winter Poem. And so that's the gist of tonight's show. And I'm going to check the studio here. Hello, caller 201. Who's calling, please? Area code 201. Who's calling, please?
My name is Sandy Galatio.
I'm sorry?
I called in to read my poem.
Okay, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Galatio, G-A-L-A-C-I-O. Sandy G.
Galatio, okay. All right, we'll get to you in just a second here, and once I bring on this next caller. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Gray. How's it going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just thinking it feels like it's been too long since I've hung out with my buddy Gray, so I decided to call in.
That's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, so I'm going to grab your poem, Galatio. I can't seem to find you here. I'm just looking for you here.
Is Horatio your all poetry name?
No, Sandy G.
Oh, Sandy G. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. That we have. If I can find it, 1 second here. All right. Okay, I'm posting this into the group. And whenever you're ready, feel free to read that, Sandy G.
Thank you. The wonder of winter. There is snow in my backyard, fallen deftly through the night. With freezing sleet and small regard, dressing all in icy white. Winds whistled winter dreams, pale mists rode on frosty breeze. Wet snow slid from stiffened trees, branches cracked and wheezed. Now stillness reigns the frosty air. Silence calls for puissant memories of waxing sleighs, in snowball fights, in skating thrills on moonlit nights. Hear the snowflakes landing like a thousand angel footsteps, falling fresh from heaven, parachuting diamond crystals, perching on the deck rails, building hats upon the caps, nesting in the lounge chairs, piling high in chalky drifts, each flake a tiny prism, like frost upon the paint, a sky of infant rainbows to whisper a refrain. Notations sent in silence dance my eyes to rest, filling hours with tranquility, a meditation blessed. End poem.
Thank you, Sandy G. That was a beautiful read. And I love the poem. You know, it's descriptive, it's engaging, it's beautiful. It's very sentimental. You know, it really captures the essence of how beautiful winter can be as you sit and relax and watch it with your eyes dancing to rest, filling hours with tranquility and meditation blessed. Just a beautiful poem. I loved it. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I've seen you around on All Poetry, and I have to say it's really great to have you call in and read your poem. Wonderful read there. I love the rhyme and flow in this. It's nicely metered. Wonderful imagery. I really like how the main theme of this comes me across as just reminding us of the beauty and the blessings of winter. Because sometimes it's easy to think of winter as a you know, just a cold, ugly time that we have to get through. I really like the imagery and hear the snowflakes landing like a thousand angel foot fresh from heaven parachuting diamond crystals. That has a very spiritual feel to it. I also like the second to last stanza. Well, it's beautiful all the way through, but these are the two stanzas that speak to me the most. Each flake a tiny prism like frost upon the pane, a sky of infant rainbows to whisper a refrain. You, in that stanza, you remind us of the importance of the individual rainbow, which can be taken, a rainbow, individual snowflake, sorry, which can be taken very literally, but it can also be taken on a metaphorical level, reminding us of the importance of each person. So excellent write and very well done. And thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you for having me.
And would you like to say anything about your poem, Andy?
I'm sorry, well, I love the winter. Of course, we all have to deal with shoveling and digging out in the cold. But the winter has a beautiful, wonderful side that touches the heart. And when it's quiet and it's snowing softly, that was the feeling that I was trying to get across with this piece.
Well, you captured that quite beautifully. Excellent job. And thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Are you able to hang out with
Thanks.
Us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, Pam, I'm posting the next one, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okie dokie. This is A Woodland Christmas by Ekravane 01. An icy freeze on drifts of snow decorates a dreary day. Tiny vortices of wind scamper over hills and clay. Sullen, leaden clouds engorged with moisture hover. Another downy blanket tucks the woodland undercover. An eldritch fairyland appears with crenellated drifts, and slowly through the cloud banks a feeble sunbeam drifts. Partridge quail and rabbit stir and gambol here and there. Nature breathes a blessing on the bracing winter air. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. That's a lovely poem. You know, I liked it. It's got powerful imagery, and you can feel the emotion in it as well, especially where it says, nature breathes a blessing on this bracing wintry air. Such a beautiful poem. Very descriptive and engaging. What did you think, Sandy G?
Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful poem. I enjoyed all the imagery, his description or her description of the snow and the landscape. Outstanding.
Great comment. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think of the poem?
This is beautiful. I think it's funny. He actually wrote this on my 16th birthday, which was June 16th, 1990. I think this is absolutely beautiful. It's got great rhyme, magical imagery, another, you know, delightful poem that captures the beauty of winter. And I love it all the way through, but especially an eldritch fairy land appears with crenellated drifts, and slowly through the cloud banks a feeble sunbeam sifts. Wonderful alliteration, beautifully written, and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next one here, and I'll give this a read. This is called Hessian Skies by Fantail. A web quivers in the corner of a window. As my breath mists the pane, I can only just make out the distant plumes, smoke that billow from chimneys. Upon once a time far away, as cold isolation numbs and darkness descends. End poem. And it was a talented write. I mean, you know, you can see all the images in your head as you read through it, which is beautiful. And I really like smoke that billow from chimneys once upon a time far away. You know, that's just a haunting image. That is, you can picture that whole scene. And I thought it was a fantastic poem. What did you think, Sandy?
I liked it too. It was a terrific write. I especially liked the ending, as it left you out of isolation, and actually as this cold isolation numbs and darkness descends, which sends you right back to the stanzas above and brings it back to life. So I really enjoyed that.
Thank you, Sandy. And Pam, what did you think? Hello, Pam?
I was on mute. I apologize.
Okay. I
always appreciate Dan Tail's writing. Wonderful imagery. I love the way after the first four stanzas, she starts to stagger her line to give it a sense of drifting, like snow drifting, clouds drifting. I also thought Hessian Skies was a great choice for a title. As she says in her A.N., Hessian, a strong, coarse fabric made from hemp or jute, used for sacks and upholstery. And it's also usually, like, Hessian blue is a grayish blue color. So I think it's perfect for describing the heaviness, you know, of a winter sky. And I really like the distant plumes of smoke that billow from chimneys once upon a time far away. It gives it a nostalgic feel, and then delves into that darkness that comes upon you oftentimes when loneliness hits in winter. So excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next post up in Late Night Bullets, if you wouldn't mind reading that, Sandy G.
Yes. Seasonal bliss. Run, indigo, river, run. Hastening as you near the sun. Kissing banks and frosted trees. Posing in the chilly breeze. And serenade an apricot sky. Echoing nature's whispered reply. Caress those lazy ripples that swirl gently in your wintry world. As you turn in your fluent serpentine dance, rejoicing in her immeasurable expanse. Stretch up, O trees, over river shoreline, both bluest spruce and greenest pine, as laden branches bow low in accolades with the season's timeless, flawless display. Rise up, O sun, and share your light as the cosmic elements splendidly unite. End poem.
Wonderful read. And I like the poem. I mean, it's got powerful imagery. Red indigo river, run hasting as you near the sun, kissing banks and frosted trees, posing in the chilly breeze, then serenade the apricot sky, echoing nature's whispered reply. Yeah, just a beautiful intro. And then, rise up, O sun, and share your light as the cosmic elements splendidly unite. Just a beautiful poem. And what did you think, Pam?
It is absolutely beautiful. I really like the sense of movement in it. Not only imagery, but that movement that comes across. Caress those lazy ripples that swirl gently in your wintry world as you turn in your fluent serpentine dance. And rise up, O sun, and share your light as the cosmic elements splendidly unite. And I know you had quoted that line too, but it deserves to be repeated because it's just such a beautiful line that ties everything together. And I love that this is like an homage, it pays tribute to the river that flows gently through the winter landscape. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, thank you. And Sandy G, what did you think?
Well, I like the poem as well. It's a terrific imagery, and I like the movement. In the second to last stanza, stretch up, O trees, over river shoreline, both bluest spruce and greenest pine, as laden branches bow low in accolades. I think that's a beautiful three sentences of words there, three lines, and I enjoy it very much.
Great comment, thank you. And I'm going to post the next poem if you wouldn't mind reading this, Pam. Anytime you're ready, Pam.
I am. Okay. All right. Let me just get there. All right. Here we go. The Snowflake by Robert Lust. I made a friend, a lifelong friend, when I was living in NYC. It was a friendly snowflake spending its winter with me. We built a relationship. It always landed on my head. One day I said I was moving south. It said to me I was brain dead. You will never see me again. Miami is not for me. I'm taboo. I'm forbidden. I'll become your memory. One day while in FLA, I felt something on my top. It wasn't my old friend. It was old friend Snowflake, who had returned as a raindrop. End poem. That's clever.
I like that. That was a great twist at the end. But, you know, I liked how he made friends with this snowflake and how they were buddies. And one day he said he's moving south. He said I had to be brain dead. You'll never see me again. Miami is not for me. I'm taboo. I'm forbidden. I'll become your memory. And then it was old friend Snowflake who'd returned as a raindrop landing on his head. So that was just wonderful. Excellent play on words there. Beautifully done. And Sandy, what did you think?
Yeah, I like the circle from the beginning back to the beginning again. When his old friend returned, I think it was very poignant. It was a fun overall piece, but that particular last stanza was poignant.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
I enjoyed this one. I like that it's the type of poem that readers of all ages can enjoy. It's got a wonderful sense of humor. I really enjoyed the personification of the snowflake and how it goes back around at the end with the idea of the snowflake returning as a raindrop. So excellent write. Very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to post the next poem in here. And this has a recording, so I'll play this. Oh, I'm going to bring on another caller here. Area code 877, who's calling, please?
Hey, Gray, Pam, Sandy, it's Dan DeShino.
Hey,
hey, Daniel, how are you doing?
Hello there.
Hey, guys. Great to be on.
And did you get a chance to hear the poem that Pam read?
I did. It was a lot of fun, and I thought it was really interesting. And you know, me ruining all the fun and thinking about it as like in scientifically, I thought it was really interesting just the relationship with water of the, you know, you're in the snow, but then she's down in the, or the person's down in Miami, and you know, still getting nurtured by water, by the sky, just in the different forms. So I thought it was a lot of fun and lighthearted. I loved what Pam said that, you know, for all ages, which was great, but also was very, very clever as well, too. And Pam, did I hear you say you were 16 in 1990?
I was, yes.
Oh, Lord, how old do I feel now? I don't want to tell you how old I was in 1990, but I'm feeling a little old at this point. That's all I want to say. So anyway, glad to be on here.
Like fine wine, you only get better with age, eh?
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't
think of it as, it's how old you are. I think of it as video game points. I made it to level 50 or whatever. That's the way I think about it.
There you go. I like that.
Okay, so I've got the poem up by Dana Hobart, and it's going to be read by James Masters Home Buyers.
Hey, love. Thanks for your poem. Yeah, that works fine. Wow. Your childhood experiences in upstate New York reminds me of my early adulthood in New York, in Queens, in Hell's Kitchen. The thing I remember most about being poor in New York was the cold. The cold, all the time. And living in a place where the snow came in through the windows. That really got me because I lived in a place like that. And I have to say, you know, now that I don't live there anymore, I have an appreciation. I hope will never leave me for being warm, having enough to eat, living in a safe neighborhood. I don't think I'll ever get over how lucky I am to be where I am right now because I went through that experience. And I don't know, but I think it kind of toughened me up. I'm thankful for it, frankly. I'm proud I got through it. I don't want to go back, that's for sure. Anyway, Home Fires, December 12, 2021. My first 10 winters were spent barefoot and fat on California sunshine. My 11th winter crammed my feet into boots that leaked, starved for vitamin D. Moving to upstate New York in 1977 was like going back in time. Urban sidewalks replaced by snowbanks along dirt roads. Isolated by cold and snow, separated from grandparents and friends. Older stepbrothers bullied me, and Mom lied. The sled ride down the hill was not worth the trek up it. We collected wood to burn after my stepfather cut down the tree and cut it into sections. With frozen fingers and running noses, we'd stack damp hemlock on a flatbed trailer pulled behind by a rusted Impala. After it was chopped, we burned the wood in a 55-gallon drum. That drum got red hot. My sister fell against it once, and two layers of skin peeled off her hand like a flour tortilla. Food was often scarce as dry wood in the winter. When the well pump froze, we hauled water up by the bucket. If the wood stove went out at night, we'd wake up in the morning, able to see our breath, snow coming in through cracks under windows. So I learned to get up soon as the house started to chill. I'd feel my way back down dark stairs to the big black barrel, stir white-hot ashes, throw more wood in, wait to make sure the fire caught. Upstairs, I would disappear under an antique quilt. You know, I find myself really enjoying not turning the heat on in my house at night. My family, you know, like, I'm cold, Dad. I'm like, you're in California. It's 55 degrees. You're not cold. You're cool, you know. I'm really enjoying having a much cooler environment to fall asleep in. And I've read that you get better sleep that way. And now that my house is my own, I could just turn off the heat and climb under a big, big blanket. I like it. I'm used to it. I'm glad we both survived, frankly. I'm glad we got through it. I have a feeling that we grew in ways we may not even understand. But thank you for your poem, love. Bye.
Are you on mute, Gray?
I am. Thank you, Pam.
Yeah,
but no,
you're welcome.
That was a wonderful read. I liked his narration on the subject, and but I liked the poem as well. My first 10 winters were spent barefoot and fat in California sunshine. My 11th winter was crammed my feet into boots that leaked, starved for vitamin D. You know, we all miss that sunshine in the winter, and yeah, you can starve for vitamin D, and I just found it a fascinating poem. You know, her life of moving to New York in 1977 was like going back in time. Urban sidewalks replaced snowbanks along dirt roads. And, I mean, where I grew up, the snowbanks were 18 feet high. You know, two-lane roads turned into one lane. And, you know, you could barely see the top of the telephone poles back in the day. So I can picture all this as I read through it. And, you know, I grew up with an oil furnace when I was a kid. And, you know, I can remember that thing running out of oil in the middle of winter and freezing our butts off until the delivery came. And so that just took me back to those moments. What did you think, Sandy G?
Well, it brought me back as well, but to the early 50s when I was staying with my grandmother and she had a coal furnace. And so when I read or hear, so I learned to get up as soon as the house started to chill, feel my way down the dark stairs to the big black barrel, stir the white hot ashes, throw more wood in to make sure the fire caught. I had a similar experience on a daily basis back then, but it was coal instead of wood. Overall, I love the poem. Very well done. It hangs together well. It has a great flow. And, of course, the imagery is terrific.
Absolutely. Well said, Sandy. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, that was just a wonderful read. Beautiful recording. I really like this. I like how it's nostalgic in a way, but it's a reality-based nostalgia. It's got brilliant lines all the way through, wonderful straightforward style imagery. It reminds us of so many of the details about winter, how it can feel isolated by cold and snow, separated from grandparents and friends, older stepbrothers, bullied, a sled ride down the hill was not worth the trek up. You know, it reminds us of the struggles that can come with winter. And I like the mention of the wood barrel stove. We used to have one of those when I was a kid too. And the same thing happened to me. I fell against the wood barrel stove, the metal barrel, and still have a small scar on my hand to this day. But yeah, wonderful imagery, wonderful use of bringing us back to that time, the way winter can often hit hard. So excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Ben. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, it was beautiful. And, I'm not sure how she got James Marsters, who's a professional actor, to read it, but that was fantastic insight and reading. And coincidence or not, I actually know him from Dragon Ball Z. Yes, I'm a cartoon nerd. And I'm not making this up. I was just watching about an hour ago a show called Warehouse 13 with James Marsters as a guest star on it. That's not a joke. So very interesting. He just read a poem we just saw. We just read. So that was great. But it is really interesting. You know, we always say how, you know, food brings you memories back, how all different things bring memories, but the seasons really do too, right? Think about it. Whenever springtime comes, when summer comes, whatever, you have these certain feelings that come, and a lot of that has to do with your memories. You know, and everybody has those wintertime memories. I'm in New England and certainly didn't have 18. Hopefully never, Gray, will ever have 18-foot high snow. But we've had our share. You know, it was funny, back in the Blizzard of 78, they called it, which was in Massachusetts. I remember that well, and we had it was a 3-foot snowstorm, but this was back in the day when, you know, the news stopped at 5 o'clock on Friday night. And you didn't get news till Monday morning, right? And they didn't have the Doppler radars and all this stuff. It was just – so nobody knew it was coming. And we had – it was a 3-foot snowstorm, and it just came out of nowhere, and people died. They were stuck on the road, and it took weeks to plow out. I remember, like, walking miles with my family to go to the supermarket with sleds to get food because we literally, the streets were not plowed for like a week. Nobody could get out. And nowadays, just a few years ago in New England, we had three-foot snowstorms in a three-week period. And after each of them, we were driving around the next day, you know, because we're ready for that stuff and everybody has plows. So, you know, weather brings interesting stories. And this is certainly one of them. It was very beautiful and a great memory and really brought back memories to myself, too. So amazing performance and writing all around.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. Okay, Daniel, you're up to Nate Reed next, if you don't mind, please.
You got it. I am just a little behind here. Let me get to the prompt. And this is the one by Forgotten Dream. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Excellent. It's called Winter Solstice by Forgotten Dream. Sunset stretch, stealing warmth and light, washing waking hours with an inky patina. She stirs, hair spills a lacy veil, surrounding marble face, icicles tangle in dark eyelashes, incoming storms, cloud arctic irides. Lips plume like spring buds, parting to reveal pearly teeth, curved in an off-kilter smile, drifting closer to me. Her kiss is frost enveloping grass, light, crisp, chilled, crystallizing summer blood, as skeletal birch fingers trace my misty outline, humid neck, warm shoulder, balmy hip, bones rimming and skin freezing. I don winter's robes. End poem.
Fantastic read, Daniel. And I liked it. You know, it really captures the bone-chilling essence of winter. She stirs, her hair spills a lacy veil, surrounding marble face, icicles tangle in dark eyelashes, incoming storms, cloud, arctic irids. Fascinating poem. And then bones rimming and skin freezing. I don winter's clothes. You know, winter wraps herself around us, whether we like it or not. And I thought it was beautiful. And Sandy, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. I love the personification of the season and how she wraps the solstice around her descriptions. And her first kiss, her kiss is frost enveloping grass, light, crisp, and chilled, crystallizing summer blood, as skeletal birch fingers trace my misty outline. I think that's a wonderful combination of words and expression. I really like that stanza.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Sandy. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with Sandy that this was wonderful personification. I also really like how it pays tribute to the winter solstice and the delicate sensuality in this. She stirs, hair spills, a lacy veil surrounding marble face, icicles tangle in dark lashes, incoming storms, cloud, arctic irids, and her kiss is frosted envelope and grass, light, crisp, chilled. Beautiful alliteration and imagery, wonderfully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a wonderful comment. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, this is very beautiful and inspiring. Just that use of you know, winter coming, but then the love and the passion he feels for this one, he or she feels for this woman, that just her smile can bring springtime, right? Can bring warmth from the winter, and then her kiss brings summer. It's just really amazing, and the imagery and the feel of it. I was very very impressed. I really loved this a lot. It's inspiring to me, giving me some ideas. So awesome job.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next one up. This is called Winter, and it's by Arbab. Rhyme. Let the sun in a place away from me Be a free bird from life's miseries. Flee. Some start wrongly, too soon, on a glee spree. Earth predicts pain for the native, weighty. Sheer and impact extends quite impressive. Ability to cause damage, crescive. Rancor degrees aggressive, oppressive. From the divine derivatives, digressive. Lacks warm, nurturing sunshine attributes. Wintry laced boots possess scant sacred roots. Pollutes the rich, slashes joy of grassroots in mild states. No proxies or substitutes. Reverse. Bitter like the oil tree, more sour than the sea. Page out of ecclesiastes. Harsh lipped spring. Breaking down of love, woman snares and nets, sorrow deeper than sea, an aftertaste of sin, homebrewed like Sardinian herbage, chestnut husks, nauseas and despair, betrayal of a blind lover's heart, woman ditched on the altar, mist before the rustling wind, moments gleam when storms hurrying, scroll when rolled together. Clouds mimicking land before sailor's eyes. A shadow, Ichabod's glory, departed fame along brightening veils and foam. And that was a fantastic write. Very intriguing in its imagery. And it really pulls you into a subliminal nature of winter. Clouds mimicking land before sailor's eyes, a shadowed Ichabod's glory, departed fame along brightening veils. I mean, that's just fantastic imagery right there. What did you think, Sandy?
Yes, I agree. The imagery is outstanding. I like the mist before the rustling wind, moments gleam when storms hurrying, scroll when rolled together. I think what he's talking about here, and the way I take it, he's talking about winter rolled into the many facets of life and how each one of these stanzas represents one aspect of the story. And I think it's very, very well done. And I really like this poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Sandy. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was really intriguing how he decided to write on the same thought in both rhyme and free verse. So you could kind of compare how the different styles carry the expression. I like that this one seems more metaphorical than the others. It seems to be talking about a winter of emotions. It really touches on the bitterness and the sorrow of a heart that is filled with winter. So just a wonderful imagery and metaphors, and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Pam. I love the imagery, and I do like the, I don't want to say negativity, I like the harshness that is brought here of winter as well, too, because winter is a harsh time. There's this commercial that was around here in New England where I'm from that was funny. They said it was just, you know, this is how people think of New England. They show this, you know, Vermont, snowy and everything beautiful, and they said this is how it really is. And they show this guy out there with this freezing wind, like, scraping off his car, you know, and that's what winter is too. It's that, you know, that's what it is, right? It's very harsh. I mean, I have buckets of salt around here, and you know, snow, you know, you're shoveling all the time, and there was, you know, it's in the city here, like, I'm 6'4", and I literally have walked around sometimes with shovels, like, I don't know where to put this, like, I don't know where it is. You know, winter's fun, it's beautiful, but it's also, you know, a harsh, tough time, right, for a lot of people. You know, I'm glad he added that, and the romantic way he put it was just very, very beautiful, so I enjoyed this a lot, and I really liked the duality of the rhyme and the free verse. I thought that was very very interesting and creative to kind of do that together. So beautiful job, Arbab. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome caller 807. Who's calling, please?
Hi there, it's Robbie. How are you?
I'm good, Robbie. How are you?
Not too bad.
Hey, Robbie.
You can all hear me. Hello. Hey, Daniel. Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Hello, Robbie.
Good to have you here.
I hope I'm coming in through clearly.
Yeah,
you are. Great.
Okay, good. So,
and did you would you like to comment on that last poll?
Yeah. I didn't hear like it in the entirety there as I was calling, but from what I got, I noticed that a lot of the the poems, including this one today, thus far tonight, they have the sort of it's not like a nursery rhyme quite, but it's like it's got that a bit of a sing-songy rhythm to it, with a sort of a it's almost like like a lot of these poems are like semi-prose in a way, and this is kind of continuing along that, and it has a certain ease of rhyme to it, and a lot of these poems are feeling like I say, sort of mini stories or almost like prose poetry. And I think it's just because of the nature of winter and what it's like. And I've been relating to all these poems just in the fact the Canadian, and like to give you an idea, like right now it's like with wind chill, it's like -7 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's a whole different ball game, you know. When like it's like the guy from actually from California, he says, "You're not cold, you're cool," and I totally relate to that sort of sentiment, because it's, you know, when you get used to -40 degrees Celsius, you know, 5 degrees Celsius, that's nothing. So yeah, overall this poem continues that sort of semi-prose poetry with the sort of easy, like internal rhyming scheme.
Yeah, with where Gray's from and with a Canadian on here now, me from New England, I'm going to stop complaining about the weather. I have nothing to complain about. It's not that bad here. way worse up there, that's for sure. You guys get a lot of snow and cold.
Oh yeah,
I think the rosy imaging that you're getting is from the imaging. It seems that encourages that kind of extended writing.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see what you're. Yeah, I agree with that.
Are you
mutating again?
I am, yes. I'm sorry about that. Robbie, would you mind reading the next poem, please?
Oh, okay. Let me just get over to it. No, I just got to refresh my screen here. Is that the Stargazers? Or that was that an old one? I guess
you got
that one.
It's Robert J. Tice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's the one. Okay, I'll go ahead now then. Stargazers on a winter's night, with lowered scarves on and gaping mouths, we sigh with awe as starlight beams, as crystalline as Arctic snow. Small homes glow with Christmas lights, establish pleasant symmetries between the valley and the sky. A dog calls out to Sirius. I let myself imagine here, perhaps to wish its mate good night. With one glove off, you trace the heavens, fingers full of reverence. which point out constellations you identify by common names, the dragon, swan, a lion, bears, much like an evening at the zoo, except these creatures run forever through the cosmic wilderness. I see the whale from head to tail, its fin held wide while it will breach the ocean's darkness with such grace that nothing splashes back to earth to snuff our modest makeshift fire as it dives down around our campsites at the height of evergreen. The universe and us beheld at once within its giant eyes before it swims around compelled to hurry upward toward the sky. And it says here, the whale, at the bottom it says, the whale in this poem represents the constellation Thetis.
I liked it. You know, it was very engaging and descriptive. You could see all this as he reads it out. A dog calls to Cyrus. I let myself imagine here, perhaps to wish its mate good night. With one glove off, you trace the heavens, fingers full of reverence, which point out constellations you identify by common names, the dragon, a swan, a lion, bears, much like an evening at the zoo, except these creatures run forever through the cosmic wilderness. I mean, that's just excellent imagery right there. Fantastic poem. And what did you think, Sandy?
Yeah, I like the paragraph about the whale and the ocean's darkness with such grace that nothing splashes back to earth to snuff our modest makeshift fire. I think that's all told, that's a gorgeous stanza, and it's a beautiful poem throughout. I really like this poem.
Thank you for that wonderful comment. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this had brilliant imagery. It has a wonderful feel that of just, you know, the ethereal beauty of walking in at night. And I like that this is a winter poem, but that it focuses more on that sky, on that clear winter sky where you can see the constellations and your mind wanders with imagination. And I thought this was beautifully written all the way through, but I did like the nod towards Sirius and the using of the imagination. And I also like, with one glove off, you trace the heavens, fingers full of reverence, which pointed out constellations you identify by common names. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
I thought this was great. You know, one of the great things about the winter that I love is the stars. There's a lot less moisture in the air, right? So no matter where you are, you can see them. I'm very close to Boston, so very close to the city, and I can see a lot more stars in the winter than I can the summer, just because it's so drier and the air is clearer. And to really kind of bring that on, I thought was great. And I didn't know there was a constellation Seton, which makes sense that that's what it's called. So I'm gonna have to try to find that. I didn't realize that was there. But to kind of imagine and see all the constellations and kind of imagine them as little creatures was a lot of fun. This is really fantastic. And again, it's something I can relate to because I love the winter skies. They're much clearer and you can see a lot more. So great job, Robert. It was a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Daniel. And Robbie, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Well, I kind of had some of the same thoughts as Daniel, and I'm glad that I was the one who read it because I've been an astronomy lover my whole life. And it's something that I very specifically do. I go out and I do some astrophotography and observing, and this actually made me think of a very specific thing that I went to. I was lucky enough to go to an observatory outside the city, and of course this was in winter, and I'll never forget it because even I knew that I was going to see more stars, a lot more stars, but was even more than I would have thought. I could barely make out the constellations. They were so flooded out by so many stars. And that's the thing with winter. It really is. Like, this is a good poem to, or a good subject to write a winter poem about, because, like you're saying, you know, the air is a lot clearer and that. But also besides that, it gets dark a lot quicker. And you have a lot more nighttime hours to yourself to, you know, do your observing in that. And there's just that certain sort of peacefulness on a winter night that really lends itself to some contemplative stargazing. And it was enjoyable to hear all of the constellations named out here.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Okay, Sandy, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Variety of the ice cream. The ice cream comes a-riding on her steed of ice and snow and casts her icy frozen net on the ground below. The beauty of her features hides the ice within her chest. Her sparkling silver necklace hangs above her snowy breast. The hoofbeats of her frigid mouth freeze waters as they go. Lakes and ponds grow solid, and the rivers cease to flow. Only fires stoked bright and hot can sway her icy hand as she paints her snowy portrait on the canvas of the land. In the countryside, held hopeless in her cold and frosty grip, everything is frozen still as she passes on her trip. Her Arctic beauty holds the earth in wondrous snowy awe. And once she's gone, the frigid land begins to slowly thaw. The land begins to warm again as further on she rots. Water starts to flow once more as her frigidness subsides. Warmth and beauty flourish and the fires no longer burn. Hills and valleys green again, till the ice creams all return. End of poem.
Beautiful read, and you know, I really liked it. I'm not too sure. Did you read the one that was by Here in My Heart, A Wintry Wonderland?
I don't. You got me. Did I read those?
Okay. It was posted
in
Late Night
Poetry.
Wintry Wonderland was the poem I want. The Wonder of Winter.
Oh, Wintry Wonderland.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I couldn't find the read. I wasn't sure what was being read. It was beautiful.
I don't think that was the poem that I posted, though. I'm not too sure. Sorry?
Oh, I was just saying we could just have it reread, huh?
Yeah, sure. Would you mind reading that, Pam? She's got the poem in the second half.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to.
You did a wonderful
read
on whatever you read. Sorry.
All right. And which one am I reading? Am I reading the edited one that's down below?
Yeah.
I am requesting reader?
Yeah.
Okay. Winter welcomes a wonderland of snow. As snowflakes nosedive in powdery white, the wintry moon's cheeks rouge aglow, nature's wedding white dress silvery bright, rolling hillside umbrella white treetops, while delicate crystals gently descend, silver snowflakes as they slowly flip-flop, the atmosphere colored charcoal gray amidst the clouds of titanium white, in unique sizes and shapes, on display, pristine crystallized snow, shimmering bright. while whirling winds whisper a lullaby. Tall pine limbs weigh heavily as they bend, while winter delays her final goodbye. As winter wears her veil of antique lace, within her frosty white gown eloquent, as diamond stars entwine, they interlace. In their soft twinkle, they look so vibrant. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I really liked it. You know, it was filled with amazing imagery as well as you can feel the personification of this winter spirit. And as diamond stars entwine, they interlace in their soft twinkle. They look so vibrant. I mean, snow can be so beautiful when it glistens like diamonds. And so, beautifully read, Pam. And what did you think of that poem, Sandy?
I like the flow of the poem. And I like the way the sentence is hung together. I thought she brought the continuity of the poem to us with some good wordsmith, solid wordsmith. Enjoyed the poem.
Great comment, thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, this is very beautiful. I love the rhyming. I thought it was perfect, and I really liked the four line, three line, four line, three line, four line. I thought that was clever. As much as I was complaining about winter, and I always do, it's beautiful. There's no way about it, right? When you watch that snowfall and the way it kind of covers everything, and you know, no matter what, you know, you wake up in the morning and everything is covered with snow. There's no footprints, right? There's very little. Cars on the road, and everything's still on the trees right before like the sun comes and melts it off. It really does make everything beautiful. You know, as winter wears her veil of antique lace with her frosty white gown, eloquent. It really is very eloquent. I thought that was really beautiful. I love the idea of the antique lace as the snow. So great imagery. Very beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I enjoyed some very particular things in here, some very particular images, like the snow flip-flopping, but also titanium white, funnily enough, because I want to get into painting. I have acrylics at home, and one of my two favorite colors, the other being Prussian blue, is titanium white. And those two colors go together just beautifully. And so when I heard titanium white, that really made my ears perk up. And like my head actually perked up. And it's going to stick in my head for a while, because when I look out into the winter, I'm going to think of the snow being titanium white. And it actually makes me want to do a winter painting with that color. And I was just thinking upon your words in terms of the winter being beautiful. And it's a unique beauty with winter, because like with the summer, unless it has its own beauty too, but unless it's like scorching hot, you don't really feel the discomfort there. Whereas with winter you do, it's like you feel it quicker. But so it's this kind of cold beauty. It's like it's a beauty that you see and that you can appreciate it, but a lot of times you're appreciating it from afar. It's a kind of a distant beauty, like you're saying how everything's covered in snow and it looks brand new, and you know, it's one of those things it's like nice to see, but it's not nice to drive through, right? And so to me, it just made me start to think on that line of thought, and that's just something else I kind of want to pursue, where winter has that unique beauty of you like to look at it, but you don't want to deal with it, I guess is kind of the way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
This has lovely imagery and wonderful alliteration. I do like how they bring have different ways of bringing white in, like umbrella white treetops, the titanium white, the mention of the crystallized snow, and then they really capture that as Daniel was saying, the newness, the whiteness of how when you look out and you see no footprints, it's all just that blanket. And I really like this all the way through, but my favorite imagery is, while winter winds whisper a lullaby, tall pine limbs weigh heavily as they bend, while winter delays her final goodbye. Beautiful lines and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, Daniel, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
You got it, my friend. This is by Francine One, called Snowscape Scene, and it's got a beautiful picture. If everybody wants to look at that, I think it's beautiful. Snowscape Scene. The freshly fallen snow makes everything pure white. It's so clean and pristine, almost sacred in sight. The house is painted with snow, no chips or fragments there. The trees' branches are frosted instead of being gray and bare. Bushes plump and green, now are full with white in between, the ground's carpet fresh to shine, snow glows along the line. A Christmas tree decorated with an array of colored lights, reflecting all colors on the snow, red, blue, green, and gold on the snow. A snowman stands proudly to complete the winter scene. To see a snow picture so perfect, I have to wonder if it's a dream. End poem.
Beautiful poem. I mean, beautiful read, Daniel. I liked it. I mean, she paints the picture with her words so serenely and beautifully that it's just powerfully engaging and entrancing. You know, you get lost in this snowy scene that she's painted here, and it's just a beautiful scenery. And I loved it a lot. What did you think, Sandy?
Yeah, I love the imagery. I love the old-fashioned feel to this poem. This poem would have been wonderful 50 years ago. It's timeless. Really enjoyed
the poem. Great comment. Excellent comment. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
This had great rhyme and wonderful imagery. I really like it. I said in my written comment the same thing you said, Gray, which is that she paints the picture with her words. And I really like the imagery of bushes plump and green now are full with white in between, the ground's carpet fresh to shine, snow glows along the line. And I also really like those ending lines, to see a snow picture so perfect, I have to wonder if it's a dream. I think there has been times, you know, for most of us, or as some of us at least, that you see an image, you see something that nature has created that's so beautiful. It's a moment that feels like a dream. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
I like this a lot. I thought this was great. It looks like that she won the gold in the contest about the painting that she posted on there. So well deserved. I loved the phrase gold on white. That's the part when I was reading it that really kind of stuck out to me. Sometimes when I'm reading and I see those phrases, I have to be careful not to stop because I want to stop and think about it. But gold on white is just beautiful, and it really is the way, you know, again, we were talking earlier about that fresh snow when it comes on and the snow, you know, the sun off of the snow, it really is that gold on white, which how much more pure can you get? You know, and the other thing about the wintertime is everything is so bright, right? It's so much more bright because you have that white and the sun bouncing off of it. It really illuminates everything. So, and just like everybody else said, I thought it described the picture perfectly. So very beautiful. Great job.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Robbie, what did you think?
Even more so than any of the poems thus far, this really felt like it was a painting in the words. I'm guessing that maybe because the image here was like pretty much a painting as opposed to like a graphic. It looks like a capture of a painting to really drove the words that way. It really feels like the words in this case had distinctly painted the poem, and that it is very much like it's one of those poems where it feels like a singular moment. I always go back to those that term Wordsworth that had a spot in time, and so to me this feels like that. It feels like a still moment in time that's just all condensed and captured onto one, poem here.
Absolutely. Great comment, Robert. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Lynn Gauthier, and she has a SoundCloud, so I will play that.
Mont Tremblant. Under the starry night, it's with breathtaking awe we suddenly arrive to the jaw-dropping sight of Mont Tremblant. What a panoramic view. Up the mountainside, it's all lit up, a winter wonderland. For a surreal moment, if only in our minds, we're transported across the ocean to the foot of the European Alps.
Beautiful read, and so descriptive, you know. Under the starry night, it's with breathtaking awe, we suddenly arrive to the jaw-dropping sight of Mont Tremblant. Such a panoramic view up the mountainside. It's all lit up, a winter wonderland. You know, you can picture all this as you read it, and I've never seen Mont Tremblant, but it's a beautiful picture that she's painted of it in this picture. Such a pretty, pretty poem. Sandy, what did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I think that the description of the scene, you can picture the mountain. It's vivid in your mind, even though she doesn't embellish it. It stands out. I think that it's a well-written poem, and I think that I enjoyed it very much.
Great comment, thank you. And Pam, what did you think of the poem? I guess she's still stepped away. And Daniel, what did you think of the poem?
I liked it. I thought it was very beautiful. I thought it was a good homage to the beauty that is winter. That is, and I like the fact of the city part, because there is, you know, we've talked a couple of times about how winter is very harsh, but when you're in a nice warm house, it is very it's also very beautiful. It's, on a selfish way, this made me think, this is what I'm hoping for. I have to go to a business meeting in Denver in January. Yes, you heard me. Denver in January. Why they picked Denver, I don't know. It's probably going to be really cold, but it's going to be in the mountains. So this is what I'm hoping for when I can see the Rockies, and this is what it feels like. So I'm going to try to go with this line for you. I'm going to think of your poem and try to go with this this in mind, and make the have, hopefully the Rockies are as beautiful as the way you're describing the Alps here. But I liked it, and the reading was great, as always, by her.
Great comment. Thank you. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Well, with mentioning Mont Tremblant and seeing the beautiful picture there, it reminded me of the places that are classically winter, and that they're known for that. They're known for being beautiful in that season, or they're known for being always in that season and kind of being the personification of winter activities and such. And like when sometimes you're thinking of your own idea when you're reading the poem or when you hear it being read. And when she said European Alps, I thought of the word I thought of was Appalachian. And so this poem reminded me of all of those places that are known for being hot spots, to be ironic, of winter activity with all their skiing and contests like with snowmen and all those classic winter places.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Captain B2 to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hi.
How are you, Bobby? How are you?
I'm here. I'm here.
We're invading Gray's show this week. We can't wait. We're so excited.
This is called moral support.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah. Would you like to comment on that last poem, Bobby?
I actually have skied Mont Tremblant. And it is beautiful. It's beautiful at night. It's fun watching the snow cats up on the ski runs, grooming the runs for the next day. But it is very reminiscent of the European Alps. Like Trois-Vallées or Chamonix, you do get the same sense of it's almost overwhelmingly nature. You're in awe of these mountains and the snow covering and just how beautiful and at night it is so serene. And I read something recently that if you grew up around snow and you played in snow a lot and like you dug holes in snow and sat in the snow and you notice that this it's very quiet in a hole in the snow, that is because snow absorbs 60% of all the noise around it.
Huh.
And so
never heard that before.
Yeah, I was amazed to read that. It's an it's a noise, it deadens noise, and that's why on snow-covered nights when you're outside, it seems very still, almost preternaturally. All that noise is absorbed by the snow. Yeah, isn't that a wonderful thing? You get the real quiet of nature with that. So I was fascinated by that. So, yeah, I love this brevity. It brought me right back to my skiing. I've seen many places in Canada, and this is a beautiful place.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And welcome back, Pam.
Good to be back.
Did you get a chance to hear Lynn's poem?
I didn't get a chance to hear it, but I got a chance to read it, and it's a beautifully written brevity. I really like it all the way through, but the second stanza with what a panoramic view up the mountainside, it's all lit up, a winter wonderland, is the stanza that most gets my attention. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And, okay, Bobby, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind giving that a read, please.
I don't mind a bit. Let me go to the... Cabin with Frosting on Top by Tangible Joy. Great name. Snow softly bites her on the lips. She tastes a fallen flake. Come on, little husky. Landscape falling. God painted the sky today. Cabin with frosting on top. Inside bathed in the fire of each other's glow, where no mortal would dare flee. Nostalgic lovers, we wrap ourselves in dreams. Snowdrops burst out of their hiding place. Silent messengers who found their way snowing the garden that never sleeps, sowing the garden that never sleeps. Feast the harvest of the dying night. Your soul gathers my reins. Come take me by design. This love treats me gently. The night your kiss told me it will never be over. Where even words play with me, where lies don't matter, whispers do. My heart in crystal form, facets like time itself, dilating. A wedding in heaven, where I'm the bride, wintry dreams devoid of pain, cabin with frosting on top, laden boughs of snow. Passion escaped these lonely walls. Ice caved in my heart. He never showed.
Oh. Wow. Such a dramatic ending. You know, she paints this beautiful scene. Snow softly bites her on the lips. She tastes the fallen flake. Come in. Come on, little husky. Landscape falling. Good. God painted the sky today. Cabin with frosting on top. Inside, bathed in the fire of each other's glow, where no mortal would dare flee. Nostalgic lovers, we wrap ourselves in dreams. You know, and then to the ending, where cabin with frosting on top, laden boughs of snow, passion escaped these lonely walls, ice caved in my heart, he never showed. Just a haunting ending, and beautifully read, Bobby. What did you think of the poem, Sandy?
I enjoyed the fourth stanza. Come take it by design. This love treats me gently. The night of your kiss told me it will never be over. Even where even words play with me, where lies don't matter, whispers do. I think that last line is the wonderful piece of the painting that she's made. I think it's a great poem. I love the imagery. I love her choice of words. And I love the flow. This entire poem flows beautifully.
Great comment. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was brilliant. I noticed in his AN that he mentioned that the background picture is actually a snowman that him and his son built together on a family trip. And I think that is just so wonderful. The brilliant imagery and metaphors, it gave idea to me that, you know, those thoughts of, it's nostalgic, but it's nostalgic in a dark way. It has a cold nostalgia, kind of almost a cruel, taunting feel to it. You know, it, amazing imagery and metaphors. You know, there's really this, especially those end lines, the sense of loneliness. I also really like the imagery and snowdrops burst out of their hiding place, silent messengers who found their way, sowing the garden that never sleeps, feast the harvest of the dying light night. Your soul gathers my reins. Your soul gathers my reins feels like the whole idea of submitting control. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed this very, very much. It was interesting in the, you know, I'm also reading the author's notes like Pam did, and he's almost questioning himself, like he wasn't sure where he was going, and he's saying, is this person alone, a couple in love, or a wicked, mean person? So he, you know, he's kind of opening it to interpretation of the situation, but it was very beautiful. I was too surprised by the ending, but it was beautiful the way it was written. My heart in crystal form, facets like time itself dilating. How beautiful is that line? And just taking the person's self into the actual weather, into the actual winter, you know, making it all part of that cabin and the situation that they're in. Softly snow, but just starting off, softly snow bites on her lips. She tastes a fallen flake. Come on, little husky, landscape falling. God painted the sky today. So, you know, her just kind of becoming that winter, becoming that whole scene, and then obviously the heart-wrenching ending. But I enjoyed it. It's beautifully written, very well. Good job, John Anderson.
Thank you, Daniel. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this poem really tied in for me elements of a lot of the other poems that we've already talked about, like how winter is beautiful, but sometimes more from a distance. And I was kind of thinking of, like, where it's talking about nostalgic lovers, we wrap ourselves in dreams and kind of mentioning the cold. And it's the classic season of, you know, it's like, oh, it's cold outside, you know, snuggle up with me, my little snow bunny, you know, let's be warm. And it's funny because I thought of that, I was thinking of that, and then I come across again, and it's like, oh, that threw my little snow bunny feeling or thought for a loop. No snow bunny at the end, right? There's a couple classic winter elements here, like with Come On Little Husky. And that's the thing is, I've actually been around a Malamute, I think, and they're half husky. And it's something I'll never forget. I'm glad I was there to witness it, but I think other ones do this too, but there was a police siren or some sort of siren passing by, and the owner, my friend there, he says, oh, wait, Rob, listen for this. And he did a full-on authentic wolf howl, and it was just amazing. And it was one of those moments. I've had a couple of moments of like that in my life where it's like, I'm not supposed to be here, or like, not in a way like I don't deserve it, but it's just so surreal that it's like, this isn't a place where I ever thought I would be. And it was just amazing, and, you know, to see that kind of personification of winter. And I don't know why those dogs do that, like why it is that they react to the sirens like that, like they do. But yeah, that's it kind of reminded me of that too. And I hate to leave earlier. I know I usually kind of stay the shortest of most people, but I just have to be a little spare of my minutes. But I enjoyed seeing all the poetry and listening and that, and I just feel like I'm in the right place because I have my Christmas trees up already. I am the one that's in front of me has all these. It's all white with, you know, white decorations and white lights, and it has all these birds on them, and they're all owls and doves and that, and it's very, and like the bulbs are all snowy and wintry and that. So I'm quite literally in the right place with the right atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate you.
You bet. I'll be hanging out still and listening some more and hang out in the chat there.
Okay, well, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
See that. Right.
But, and Bobby, would you like to comment on the poem that you read?
Sure. Lovely, lovely title. Very evocative. I also was very surprised by such a melancholy ending for such a lovely romantic tale. Cabin with frosting on top, laden boughs of snow, passion escaped these lonely walls, ice caved in my heart. He never showed. It's wonderfully rich in seasonal visual imagery and well-crafted metaphor. That's such a profound contrast to the heartbreaking conclusion of the piece, but it's beautifully written.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Okay, Sandy, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind giving that a read, please.
Yes, What are the colors of a winter's night?
Yes.
What are the colors of a winter's night? My imagination takes over in the cold. I envision the color blue, which is my mood. Adds to the dark canvas of brood. What are the colors of a winter's night? The fresh dusting of snow. Blankets on the ground. Reminds me of a virginal wedding dress, all eyes on the bride as she walks with finesse. What are the colors of a winter's night? Headlights beaming brightly here and there. Traffic lights of red, yellow, and green break up the monotony on the city scene. What are the colors of a winter's night? On clear nights, twinkling stars shine. Their brilliance light up the night sky, thousands of light bulbs turned on high. What are the colors of a winter's night? Sleep overtakes me as I dreamed about. Flashes of color before me shut my eyes. A gift of kaleidoscope wonder as a surprise. End of poem.
Wonderful read, Sandy. And I like the poem. You know, it's very, it really pulls you into this scene that she's looking at. What are the colors of winter's night? Headlights beaming brightly here and there. Traffic lights of red, yellow, and green break up the monotony of the on the city scene. You know, you can picture all that as you look into this poem. And I thought it was beautifully painted and presented. So fantastic job, Sonia. An excellent read, Sandy. And what did you think?
I thought this was lovely, and I really enjoyed that the title was a question. What are the colors of a winter night? Because we get so overwhelmed and so focused on the white that we don't see the variations, the green of the trees, the blue and gray of the shadows. It reminds me of when I was in an art class way back in high school. The teacher told us to look outside at the snow and say what other colors we saw besides white. And this one kid pipes up and says, "I see yellow." And the teacher was like, "Well, that's just where a dog went." I don't know. But it's true, though, man, I tell you. And there's those variants even of white and the trees. And as she mentioned, the traffic lights. I mean, she really brings it all into this and reminds us that there's so much more to that winter, that nighttime, than just the snow itself. I really like what are the colors of a winter's night, headlights beaming brightly here and there, traffic lights of red, yellow, and green, break up the monotony on the city scene. Wonderful lines, beautifully written, and very well done.
Great comment, Dan. Thank you. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was beautiful. I agree with Pam. You know, there are you do focus on the white, but there are the other colors besides the, you know, the yellows. But yeah, you do see those sometimes too, right? But just like Frank Zappa says, right, watch out where the Huskies go. Don't you eat that yellow snow.
Right.
But yeah, there are the other colors, and there's the blacks, and there's the different shades of the white too, which I always think is really interesting. And you know, I like how she's talking about the differences of the different kind of almost places, and you know the red traffic lights, yellow, red, yellow, and green. That stanza kind of spoke to me, and I know that she said that, you know, breaking up the monotony on the city scene, but I always saw them just stand out a little bit more. You do see kind of these other colors stand out in white. You know, I just wrote a poem kind of about colors that I was just kind of talking about all the different you know, how everything is color. You know, it's really, sometimes I notice that when I look around, there's just so many colors and we don't necessarily realize them. And when the winter comes, when white comes, they stand out a little bit more because everything is covered in white. So the colors that are there just are a little bit brighter. So I thought this was great. And I like the composition of it with the first, you know, with the first line or the colors of a winter's night. I like that compositional part. So nice job, Sonia. I enjoyed it.
Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Pam and Dan, I also agree that this piece does a nice job of pointing out that there are colors besides being you can get over. The traffic lights, I'm always struck by them at night, especially when it's snowy. And if there's snow falling, it's an interesting scene that you get with the snow falling in front of the traffic lights. But you do see other things against the white more brilliantly, neon signs, just lights in windows. And there are, if you take a moment to appreciate. There are other colors besides the white, and the white actually provides quite a contrast that brings those other colors out. So this is a very, very observant, very astute poem.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Sandy, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Well, I'm landing on colors like everyone else. It's amazing that he left out the colors from the colors of Halloween through the colors of Thanksgiving, the colors of Christmas, Christmas lights, and he stuck to the basic lights that are in our lives every day. And I thought that leaving out those other lights gave an interesting twist to his question and the answers that he gave. I thought it was a terrific poem.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Sandy. Okay, Pam, you're up next to read, please.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Let me get back to where I need to be. And here we go. Oranges by Ahmad Attar. When the winter's tiny heart began to beat once again, nourished by the fall, I heard calls all around me, coming from afar to me in the small city. I had to choose one, so I became bewildered and chose my next step in life in haste, a peculiar one at that, for my indecisiveness brought me here to you. In this city, hundreds of miles away, you were from a glinting colony in a grand city, and I was a paltry town dweller. But now we shared a common roof. Everything started out slow, constant visits to you in my neighborhood and the peeled skins of oranges in your room. When the window panes began to frost, our breath smoke, you awoke from your slumber and took us out of our cold caskets. We swayed in the dark hallway of our hostel out to the concrete chilled by the winter's breath, guided by the hot sodium lamps, gasping in the mist, find our way to the village, warming our throats with hot milk and biscuits. All of us refueled ourselves so our legs can carry us to the city. Frigid weather, you in my sweater, cool drops on my jacket's leather. Everything was better now that I got to be with you, even if not alone. When you talked, you were unexpectedly loud. The words confidently jumped out from your mouth and the sweet scent of oranges from your lips. We roamed the city like it always belonged to us, casting shadows and chasing them, roaring, trampling the earth beneath us, crossing bustling roads from one lamppost to another, from one glass to another. We ran nowhere. We ran from nobody. We just ran together aimlessly, with slowly thawing ice creams on our wrists. Adrift, we ran in the mist to the fruit market. Pears, pineapples, persimmons, unable to resist. I can never forget chafing hands in the weakened heat of boys standing together, ravishing ripened fruits and the soft flesh of oranges between my teeth and the bitter winter wind crossing our ears, crystallizing on the rickshaw, beating every second. It was all so loud, but not as you danced in the avalanche of bumps and breaks. Your warm breath to my trembling face, our laughter followed yours, our smile echoed yours. And when the thinning roads began to seem like home, you guided us back to our dorms to think of doing it again tomorrow. But now I am back in my paltry town. Nothing moves here. It feels like a grave. It's summer and it's hollow. It devours every sound in its gut. Everything is so static and silent, it hurts. The summer is going to be long. This summer is going to be sad. And I do dare to yearn to go back to our winter because it was the best time I ever had. I do too yearn to go back because it was the best time I ever had. Now I sit in the blazes constricted by the sand with only my memories, some hopes, and the seeds of unblossomed oranges on my hands. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And that was a deeply engaging poem. You know, it really pulls you into the scene of him heading to the city in this winter. And I like the personification of winter in this as well. When you talked, you were unexpectedly loud, your words confident, jumping out from your mouth, and the sweet scent of oranges from your lips. We roam the city like it always belonged to us, casting shadows and chasing them, roaring, trampling the earth beneath us, crossing bustling roads from one lamppost to another, from one glass to another. We ran nowhere. We ran from nobody. We just ran together aimlessly. With slowly thawing ice creams in our wrists, adrift, we ran in the mist to the fruit market, pears, pineapples, persimmons, unable to resist. Beautiful poem. What did you think, Sandy?
Well, I enjoyed the poem. I thought it was beautiful, too. Had to do for me with the gifts of, and the vicissitudes of, you know, young relationships and how the growth of those relationships transpires into something more permanent. And I love the description that were given and the continuity of the stanzas.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Daniel's dropped, Robbie's dropped. Bobby, what do you think?
Great storytelling. It is very engaging. It draws you along with the story of their summer together, and it has some wonderful visual imagery, a lot of sensory and tactile descriptions, warm or hot milk and biscuits, oranges. The fruit, you can almost taste and smell the thawing ice cream. It has a lot of wonderful visual imagery. It has such a sad ending, though. There's so much yearning at the end, and it's so melancholy. You can feel the longing to go back to that time that person, the author, was so happy.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
I think this is just absolutely beautiful. It's emotive. It reminds me of the story of the country mouse and the city mouse, but a grown-up version. And the feeling that it gives us of, you know, looking back at a time when you had this love and life was good and you had this connection, but it was something that wasn't meant to last, but at least you have the memories of it. And I really like the imagery and the winter wind and the bitter winter wind crossing our ears, crystallizing on the rickshaw, speeding every second. It was all so loud. But not as you. You danced in the avalanche of bumps and breaks. Wonderful imagery, beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, I'd like you to read for our next fantastic writer, if you would, please.
Not a problem. She can't push a noun against a verb with any success whatsoever. Okay. Frost Sugar Cookie. And I think this was for a contest that you ran last year. So, okay. Sugar Cookie. It was for, I think it was the theme was a Robert Frost quote.
Hello, Bobby.
Did I cut out?
Yeah.
Hello.
You did.
Okay.
Hi, Bobby.
All right. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Frost. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Frosty flurries fill the air. Powdery white is everywhere. The woods become a pale confection, a wintry icing of sheer perfection. Mother Nature conjures sweets as snow turns the world to sugary treats. As all the boscage displays the freeze, a magic glacé coats the trees. All the woodlands bedecked in style, I stroll in these pâtissière surroundings a while. And the heart of winter sparkles bright as the snowy topping reflects the evening light. A glittery, sugary crust covers the ground like silvery drudgies sprinkled round. A crow rests on the rooftop, black wings unfurled, quietly sharing my sugar cookie world. End poem.
Beautiful read. And that's such a touching poem, turning winter into a dessert, you know, like covering it in icing and, you know, making everything into snow cookies. That's just fantastic. Very imaginative and engaging. I loved it, Bobby.
Thank you.
Read. And what did you think, Sandy?
I had a little trouble with that poem, and I couldn't find it to read at the same time. But listening to it, I liked the flow of the poem, and I thought that the reference to sweets in regard to time of year in winter, you know, was an interesting and entertaining subject. I like the poem.
Great comment. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
I thought this had brilliant imagery and metaphors. You know, I've never seen winter made so absolutely delicious. I love those sugar cookie pictures that you attach to it. You show us a different way to look at winter. A glittering sugary crust covers the ground like silvery daggers sprinkled round. A crow rests on the rooftop, black wings unfurl, quietly sharing my sugar cookie world. So you brought in the magic of what winter looks like, what that new fallen snow looks like. And you remind us in those end lines that we share that with nature, with that crow upon the rooftop. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
No, I just, it was in response to the Robert Frost piece, Dust of Snow, and that's why I included the crow, because it has a crow mentioned in there. But it just one time I saw a hoarfrost on the trees, and everything looked like it was just coated with glacé, and it never that image never left me. It always looked like Mother Nature was icing everything and baking things. It always looks, it looked like sugar cookies. It looked it looked not cold, but almost like a confection.
Right. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Great mind, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called Snowflakes. A fresh breath of the last days of winter blows. The gentle zephyr caresses the thick surface of snow, thawing into the memories of another passing season. A lone straggler witnesses the change of a once cold clump. The pines soft with the ice, crystals of feathers of curls, dancing its final choreography of its magical enchantment to the sweet sounds of nature's orchestra, animation awaken, performing its elegant ode to the presence of time evolving. The whispers of the morning sun are heaped afterwards by the lively migrating birds, coming anew to the fold, humming the chorus of the arrival of spring, becomes or betimes as the young barns watch them fly from the distance. A cluster of the remaining sprinkle of the snowdrift embraces the calm of the voices of wintry adieu. The winsome smiles of brethren spent by the comforting earth, flickering flame, rekindling the old days of the heavy heartness when special moments shared with beloved ones always were priceless treasures to cherish among the eventide of the eve of Christmas. Subtle as the sound and motion of snowflakes, slowly melting in the warmer temperature under the sun, morning sunshine, where it is the hour of winter's departure. Well, that was beautiful. It's deeply engaging, you know, and it's entrancing. You can kind of get enchanted by this whole scene that he's painted here in his words. Such a lovely descriptive poem. Beautifully read. I mean, beautifully written and fantastically received. So excellent write, Frank. Sandy, what did you think?
I like the nostalgic aspect of the poem. I like the way that he linked the wintertime with the good times with his family. And he said in the olden days of old, which brings us back to a different time. And what is really a timeless phenomenon attached always to winter. I thought it was a terrific poem.
Great comment. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, you did a wonderful read there, Gray. This has nice alliteration in it, beautiful imagery. I like how he takes us through the light and the music and the sense of movement that winter brings, and then delves into those memories of times with loved ones. I really particularly did like rekindling the old days on the heavy heartiness when special moments shared with beloved ones always were priceless treasure to cherish. Beautifully written lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think he does a beautiful job of bringing forth, excuse me, the camaraderie of the time, of the season, and the atmospherics, the ambiance, the winter, wind blows, snow around, and people are engaging in activities in the snow, and excuse me. A cluster of the remaining sprinkle of the snowdrift embraces the clum of voices in a wintry adieu. The language in this also is very lyrical, very classic in its presentation. So it's I think it's a beautiful read and lovely storytelling.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Sandy, we have time for one more if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
Yes, you have to give me a title because I'm following a different program than you are. I have to pick up.
Okay, it's called January by Per Cinema.
Hello, here, Sandy?
Yes, I'm here. I'm trying to find
okay.
It.
Okay, it's right, lady. You might have to write. It's right. Post in Late Night Poets. Just refresh your page, and you'll see it.
I'm going to text it to you. I'll send it to direct message.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
I feel like somebody should be singing the Jeopardy song or something, Bobby. You want to start doing some humming?
I'm dancing.
Yeah.
You can't tell?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It hasn't come through yet. But it would be very entertaining.
I did send it to your message.
You might have to refresh.
Yeah, you might have to refresh your page.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Sam, would you like to give another read?
All right. Would you like me to give this a read, Gray?
Yes, please.
Okay. January by Persansima, and it goes like this. January brings a world of snow, blizzards, and freezing winds out of the north sweep over the plains. We sally forth, cloaked up and swaddled down from tip to toe, our noses frozen and too red to blow. This is the coldest season of the year. Grandfather Winter, kindly though severe, making wood piles shrink and every snowdrift grow. From time to time, he silvers all the woods and covers spruces with a drooping shawl, bergs on the frozen shore, where gulls brood melancholy to the core. We all pull down our hats and up our hoods when old Grandfather Winter comes to call. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And I liked it. You know, he really captures the incoming season of January and its blizzards, freezing winds out of the north sweep over all the plains. We sally forth, cloaked up and swaddled down from tip to toe, our noses frozen, too red to blow. I mean, that's just fantastic imagery there. What did you think, Sandy?
Yes, I agree with you. I love the way he explained the frigid winter and the imagery that he invoked. I felt I was there. It was very nice.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Bobby, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. Interesting. It starts out with an unusual rhyme scheme, but it's a nice rhythmic read, has a nice cadence to it, and it gives some wonderful visual imagery. Grandfather Winter, kindly though severe, makes wood piles shrink and every snowdrift grow. I like that. The contrast between the wood piles shrinking and the snowdrifts growing.
Yeah.
And he silvers the woods and covers the spruces with a drooping shawl. I like the descriptions.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was wonderful. I really like that she focuses in on one month, on the month of January, where it's oftentimes the coldest. I really like that she makes Winter an old grandfather, and the imagery, and from time to time, he silvers all the woods and covers spruces with a drooping shawl. Beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And I'd like to thank you each for calling in tonight and sharing your time with me. Your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, everybody. Have a wonderful night.
Night.
Bye.
Good night, all.